deeply, and that thing that you said or did hit that wound. And the silence is not about you. It's about that pain. So we have to be careful with word exaggeration. The key word in Matthew 18 is if you have something against someone, go to that person, and in some cases it's okay to bring in another person. No, it's not what he said. We're not to bring in another person. And the reason why we want to search it out, and the reason why we go to the source, is because we want to stay connected to one another. We don't want to isolate from one another. Go to the person. Did you say this? What did you mean by that? Or maybe this. This is what I heard you say. Can you help me understand what you meant? See, what you're doing is you're opening up a connection. And you go, I want to stay connected. Help me understand. This is what I heard, but I want to understand what you meant, because I don't want anything to get in between us. I want to create unhealthy space in our relationship and in our connection, so that when I see you at the supermarket, I'm not going to the next aisle over the aisle that I need to go to. Man, I don't want to talk to you, so I'm going to go to the next aisle. I talk to you later in the room, right? You see that person, you're like, oh, shoot. I'm going to go to the next aisle, and we walk down the frozen section. We don't want those good connections to happen. So we go to the person. We search it out, because we know we have a tendency to fabricate things in our mind, and we don't want to get anything in between us that disconnects us from one another. We don't want to go in the opposite direction of Jesus. And Jesus' heart in prayer was, Father, I pray that they would be connected. I pray that they would be one, just as we are one. And this is what I want for people. See, when we start to believe rumors and information, and when we start splintering over what I think I heard or what I think she said, we disconnect. Now, the Apostle Paul chimes in on this in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 15. And when Paul is writing a letter, he's always addressing something that was going on in that particular body. So in chapter 5, verse 15, listen to what Paul says. He says, listen, if you guys keep on fighting and devouring one another, watch out, or you're going to be destroyed by each other. Right? Really heavy words. If you continue fighting and devouring and talking about one another in these destructive ways, you're going to destroy one another. Now, I, unfortunately, in my 46 years of life, have been part of two church splits. Two. That's like two too many. But I've been part of two. And when I look back at those experiences, they began with gossip. Little small, seemingly unimportant bits and pieces of information, but it was the meeting after the meeting, you know what I'm talking about? Like when you have a meeting and then there's another meeting in the parking lot or on the ride home, it's like, oh yeah, well, you know, what so-and-so said it, and that thing just gets fabricated and spun. Or there's secret meetings that happen that the leadership don't know about, or the leaders that have a meeting that other people don't know about, and there's all this secretive stuff going on. And we create these fabricated stories. Or maybe it's those prayer requests, and maybe you've been a part of these prayer times where people do these prayer requests disguised as gossip. And there's like disguises that we do. Lord, I just want to take an opportunity to pray for Chester and Karen in their marriage. And then we just kind of leave it there. You've got eight other people in the room. And what happens with the brain is like, uh-oh, Chester and Karen have a problem with their marriage. Right? You know, I did notice last week when Chester and Karen were at church, it didn't seem like there was something wrong. I did notice that Chester didn't put his arm around Karen in service. But something must be wrong. And we tend to spin and fabricate these stories. They're probably having marital problems. Oh, God, we pray for Chester and Karen. And it just gets turned into this story, blah, 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 right? Disguise. It's kind of this piety, we care about you. But what's going on underneath it is there's something wrong, and we're going to talk about it and spin about it. If you have something or sense something, what Jesus says is you go to the person. You go to that person. And the Bible verse does not say if somebody else happens to enter the story, that's okay. That's not there. It says go to the person. This kind of dialogue has found its way into many, many community. How about this? I'm not gossiping, but chances are the word gossip is in your sentence, probably not good. I'm not gossiping. I hope this is a gossip. How many of you heard that one? I hope this is a gossip. But no, keep going. And is this gossip? No, it's not gossip. I'll let you know if it is, but just give me the information. Now, I understand that there are times when we need to go to others to seek their wise counsel before we go talk to the source. I get that. In my short time here at Edgewater, I've had maybe a few brief little run-ins with folks. It happens, right? And what I did is I went to two people that I trusted, and I asked them, here's what I want to do. I want to make sure that my intent is right, and I need your help in helping me know how to communicate effectively with these people. Will you help me communicate better? So I went. My intent was not to wound, not to get defensive, not to create disconnection. My heart was to connect. And by bringing these other folks in, I was asking them, make sure that my motives are right. If you see anything in me that is not right, would you please let me know? So I went for wise counsel. There are other times when it's nobody else's business, and you know what I'm talking about. You don't go to somebody else. You go to the source, and you communicate, and you work it out, and you search it out. Now, my hope and desire is that we as a community here at Edgewater can put these things into practice. So maybe what could be part of our dialogue together is this. You're not going to believe what so-and-so said. You hear that statement? My advice to you, stop. I might not listen to that. Go to the person and talk to them. Don't talk to me. Unless you've got a problem with me, talk to me. But go to the person. Point them to the source. Now I'm going to ask you a question. And this will require a little bit of self-reflection. You ready? Do people gossip to you? Is there a possibility that you might be one of those people who are perpetuating and absorbing gossip instead of deflecting it? Could that be? Don't talk to me about this. I would encourage you to go to that person and talk to them. See, the sad thing is, in some relationships, we might run out of things to say if we don't talk about other people. But instead of absorbing it and taking it in, I think what Jesus is calling us to and encouraging us to is, no, talk to that person. That's not going to happen here. I was a part of a group of ministers when I was ministering in Los Angeles. There were 40 local pastors that met every month. And our purpose for getting together was to connect, to pray, to encourage one another. All senior pastors from different backgrounds, different understandings, different ways of worship. And we would just get together and we would fellowship and we would connect. And you know what? I actually liked a lot of them. It was nice. I connected with a lot of these guys. And every once in a while, what would happen, and this seems to happen when you get in communities and you have different churches, is a person will get disgruntled in one church, and then they'll move to another church with their disgruntled case. And they come in and you know they're disgruntled. And what I've experienced is they come to me and they're like, I'd like to get together with you and have coffee. And I'm like, great, let's do that. And then they'll start to go in to all the things that they have against their prior pastor. Now, I understand that some of the things that they're saying, they may have some validity to that. There may be some valid points that they're raising. But my first inclination is to stop the conversation and say, you know what, it sounds like you need to go to him and work that out. I'm not going to sit here and take this. I would encourage you to go to that person. And by the way, he happens to be a friend of mine. So you're talking about my friend. Now, I know my friend's not perfect, but I know his heart. And that's the power of connection. Like when you know other people and they start bad-mouthing that person, I know it's just a matter of time before they start bad-mouthing me anyways. So I would say go and talk to them. Now, one person in all my time in ministry had actually done that. They actually went back and made things right in their prior situation got that relationship back in order. And you know what? Then they came over and they were a part of our community. And it was okay. We were all in agreement on it. This is a good thing. This is great. And we celebrate that as long as we're all good with one another. And if possible, then we work it out. Now, I know in some cases there's been hurt and there's been wounds. And I know that us pastor types sometimes create all kinds of problems. And we say dumb things that hurt people. I get that. So when it's possible, and if it's possible to go and make things right, I would encourage that to happen. Sometimes I know that that's not possible, and that person is not open to connection. So what I would do then is I would step in and say, hey, I'm here to help you work through the pain and to work through the hurt. But my heart is always to seek reconciliation when possible, to seek that connection with other people, to keep it open, because more gossip equals more disconnection and more damage to the body. Now, from my own experience, here's another thing that I've learned. When I've chosen to go to the source, I go to the actual person. When I've chosen to do that and not participate in the gossip, you know what happens? I've discovered that it's usually a lot bigger than it really is. It's just this big fabricated thing that I've made up in my mind that when I go to the person and actually talk to them, I discover that it's a lot smaller than it actually was. It gets out, and we become closer as a result of being able to work through together, which is really cool. Then, this connection is no longer there, and when I see that at the supermarket, I don't feel awkward. I can walk up and say hello, and we can connect, and we can still continue to work through, because I want to squash the little fragments before they become big problems and affect the whole community. As Paul said, if you keep biting and devouring, you're going to destroy each other, so we don't want to participate in that. We want to squash that stuff out. So Jesus said, if you have a problem with someone, go to that someone. Don't bring somebody else in. Go to that person. But he continues. And in verse 15, he says, if they listen to you, you've won them over. Right? Now, I don't hear this. I don't hear, I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm glad that you see that I'm right and you're wrong. But what I hear, again, is now we've got connection, openness, and relationship. They agree, you're right, I missed it. Now we can connect. Now we can have openness. The word listen here is a very interesting word because it has all these layers to it. The word listen can also be come to understand as if you unite. Right? If you unite, then you've won. You've come together. In other words, if they say, you're right, we're back to oneness, they own it, you own it, and there's connection again. What does the prayer, the central prayer of Jesus, Father, I pray that they may be what? One. Connected. That the Jews have a daily prayer that they practice. And it's the prayer called the Shema. How many of you are familiar with the Shema? It says, Hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one. This is like the driving force of the universe itself. That when God created the world, his heart was, I want there to be oneness with you, connection, that we're close, we're connected, we're driving together, we're open with one another. This is at the heart of Jesus' prayer, and as followers of Jesus, this is our desire as well. Now, this part of Matthew 18 raises some really big questions. Surprise! Scripture raises big questions. Good. If I put myself on the other side, not as the person going to, but the person that someone is coming to me to speak to me, I've missed the mark. That puts questions in my heart. And one of the questions is what if I'm at fault? What if I'm the person that needs to be open to hearing what this person has to say? Here's some questions for you. Am I open to having people come into my life that will help me to see my faults and weaknesses? That could be mentors, it could be a trusted friend, it could be a counselor, it could be a life coach. It could be these people helping you to see, people that know you. Do you have the courage to be able to say, can you help me identify blind spots? Because I can't see what I can't see. This is why it's called self-deception, right? Self-deception is pretty self-explanatory. You're deceived. If you can't see it, you need someone else to come along and help you see those things. Am I the kind of person that people feel like they can approach? They feel like they can come and approach me and talk to me. Now I want to shift over to the book of Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs has some things to say about how we receive correction. And I want you to hear these. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. It's like, okay, wow, those little men's words just get right to it. Now the word discipline, to me, is parallel with disciple. What we've done is we've taken discipline and we've connected it to punishment. Discipline is not punishment. Punishment, you're bad. Drags you down. Discipline, disciple, means you grow, to learn, to become aware of things that you need to become aware of. So as a disciple of Jesus, I'm asking Jesus, help me to see the things that I can't see. Bring other people into my life to help me to grow and evolve as a human, to learn. Discipline helps to foster healthy relationships because the person that's coming into your life is helping you, coaching you, guiding you, and helping you to understand the how. Not just, here's the problem, now what? They help you understand how to work through that, how to communicate with other people, how to connect. Instead of operating under these levels of self-deception, a person who loves to be a disciple loves knowledge. The person who doesn't hates correction is stupid. Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. They listen to advice. A fool is somebody who insists they're right, everyone else is wrong. You know these folks, right? That's a few. They're right, everyone else is wrong. They won't listen to advice, counsel of other people. Someone who is wise, on the other hand, is somebody who wants to hear the things that they can't see. They open themselves up and they invite that. That's a disciple. Someone who wants to learn. Someone who wants to grow. And instead of shutting down, say, you know, you may be right about that. How about we get together and we talk about it?
Amen.
How about we connect over some coffee and work through that together? That's healthy. That's good. Are you open to that? Those are the kinds of things we want to see happen in this community, which we call the Kingdom of Heaven here on earth. We want to practice these things. Proverbs 13:10. Where there is strife, there is pride. Oh, wow. Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. There's wisdom. Proverbs 15:10. Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. But stay the course. A disciple longs to learn and grow and stay the course where Jesus is leading us. But the one who hates correction will die. What is going on there? What is this proverb saying? My friends, when something stops growing, it dies. It ceases to grow. Like, you may be still breathing, but you're not really living. And some of you know what I'm talking about. There's the growth, the evolving. Many of us know people who are stuck and they're not growing and moving. They're closed off, disconnected. They're done growing. And what we hear is the same old tire story over and over and over again. They're moving away from connection and oneness. Jesus calls us to connect. He invites us to connect with the Father, with Him, with one another, and with ourselves. Proverbs 15:32, check this one out. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves. They despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. I think self-hatred keeps us from growing. It keeps us from growing, from opening ourselves to others. This is where we need to ask ourselves, what is it in me that is keeping me from receiving correction and gaining understanding? What am I resisting? What's what's going on in here? Where is their strife and pride? Am I open? Because I understand that life is about connection. It's about God, connection to others, connection with ourselves. What's keeping me from that? And do I have people that can help me to see those things? How do I go about connecting? How do I go about acknowledging these things are going on inside of me? And how can I go about changing that? Now, if you're interested in knowing the how, talk to me. I can help you. I know others who can't. If you want to grow and your life is stuck and I need someone to help me, we have people that can do that, okay? We're here to help. That's why it's so important to invite people into our lives to help us see the things that we can't see. Whoever hates reproof will end up living in the walking corpse. So be careful. Now, back to Matthew 18 for a moment. Matthew 18 says, if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, according to this section of Matthew 18, sometimes it's necessary to bring a third party in. Sometimes it's good. If you're having a disconnection with another person and there's strife and there's this disconnect, it's helpful to bring in a third party, which leads me to talk about marriage for a moment. Let me talk about marriage. From my observation, I wonder how many marriages would benefit by bringing in a third party. Right? How many marriages would be like, would start to, again, come to life if you brought in a third party? Now, I've learned from counselors and talked with all kinds of people, and from the observation of many people, it seems like what we do is we wait for there to be a crisis before we do something about the marriage. Right? We have all these things in our system that we do. Preventative care for autos. We have health things that we do to take care of ourselves. We try to reduce stress at all levels. But then when it comes to things that are vital and important, it's like, I don't know. Just kind of leave it aside. How many marriages would benefit by bringing in a third party? Why don't we do this with our marriages? Here's another question that's going to make you uncomfortable. How many guys actually have the courage to say there may be a remote chance that I'm part of the problem? Maybe. You guys realize counseling isn't just for women, right? I was saved by a counselor. She saved me. She helped me to see things that I was not able to see. She was a gift from God, had a ton of wisdom, brought a ton of discipline into my life. I am a disciple, a learner, a grower. I want to grow. I want to evolve. I want to change. How many of us have the courage to admit that you've checked out on the relationship and you need to get things back in order? You need to get things back in order. You've given up. You've closed off. You've become indifferent. And you're not seeking wise counsel to save the marriage. And please, hear me on this. Don't go to your friends.
Amen.
Friends give the worst advice. I have great friends. I would not go to them for their wise counsel. That's not their role. They're friends. They're a gift from God. Get the help that you need from people who know what they're doing. And they're trained, and they are gifts from God to help you to grow. Matthew 18, verse 17. It says, if they refuse to listen even after this, gosh, okay, tell the church. And if they refuse to listen to the church, then treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, tell the church. This one's interesting to me, because I'm not totally sure how this works out. I've not seen it done really super well. But my best guess is maybe that means small group, maybe that means elders, maybe that means leaders. I personally would always prefer go to the source first, and then bring in a third party. When the bus gets too full, things get really complicated, right? You get too many people on the bus and everybody's got a different opinion, it can get really confusing. So I'm not, to be totally honest with you, I don't fully understand what that means. But Jesus knows some things that I don't know. For the church, I can only speculate. I don't exactly know what that means. But I do know this, that our goal and how we go about helping people is never to shame a person, and it's never to guilt a person on how to change. We're not here to guilt you, to shame you, to manipulate you, to bring this stuff out in front of the church and go, let's look at so-and-so sin, everybody. That's not our goal. Our goal is always to come at you with grace and love and truth and to help you to grow. I think it's best to work it out between you and the person and possibly a third party. Those are healthy patterns. But if they refuse, even after all that, what does Jesus say? Treat them as Gentiles and tax collectors, which again raises big questions for me. How did Jesus treat pagans and tax collectors? He ate with them. He pursued them. He made it very clear that God's plan also included them in the world. I understand that there are times when we need to establish boundaries. I get that. There are some relationships that are toxic. There's some things we need to create boundaries. There are some things we need to say, no, you can't be a part of things right now. But we're going to continue to pursue you. We're going to continue to be in relationship with you. And we're going to do what we can to keep things open. Now, if we continue to ignore the teachings of Jesus, and we continue to have side discussions and incorporate prayers with gossip, if we continue to do these things, eventually what will happen is things will come to an end. And I do not want that here. So, we are going to practice going to one another, shutting things down, talk to the source. If people have things that you want to say about John Woolner, John Woolner's line is open. You can talk to me if you allow me to do the same. I want to be connected with you. I want to be connected with life. I want to be connected as a body for us to be a healthy, vibrant group of people who are working on our stuff and who admit, yeah, we've got some things we need to work on, and to continue to put those things in practice so that we can honor this prayer to you, this Father, I pray that they may be one just as we are one. You're one. You're connected. So God, take a moment. We ask for you to just settle here with us. And anything that came up in us during this dialogue, that you would continue to help us to become aware of the things that we need to become aware of. Pay attention to the things that we continue to exist. Because we want to grow. We want to take in what you're doing. I understand that that includes me too. So we want to grow, Father. We want to learn. We want to be disciples. Not just people who get information on a Sunday, but a little inspiration. We want to grow. We want to get well. We want to become the people that you have created us to be. So Father, work on our hearts. Work on the community.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you.
We're going to continue our...
Isn't singing any better fun? Eric, why is it so uncomfortable? As you go, just me. One of the things that I continue to discover is that there's always more going on than what you realize in every moment. What seems mundane, unimportant, there's something going on. There's God's Spirit breathing and moving even in this. There's something happening, and I want to tune into that. And I invite you this morning as you leave this place to open yourself up to the immensity that God has for you, that His heart is for you, that sees you, that He longs to fill you with hope and give you his heart to connect with you. Know that you, my friends, have God with you always. He's always close to you, always near to you, loves you, and sees you. He's passionate about your life. So go now. Be filled with his mercy, with his grace, and may the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with all of you.
And also with you.
Thank you.